So we have this morning two stories. The story of Yosef and the story of Hanukkah. And the question is, how do they relate one to the other? And of course, there isn't just one relationship. There are probably many. For example, you could say that the story of Yosef is a story about the struggle for Jewish identity outside of the land of Israel. And the story of Hanukkah is the story of the struggle for Jewish identity inside the land of Israel. And even today, the fight goes on in both places for what Jewish identity is, outside of Israel and also inside of Israel. But I have another suggestion as well, a different and a more subtle relationship between the two stories. It's based on a beautiful comment that I heard several years ago by my friend and colleague, Rabbi Ed Feinstein, about Hanukkah. He said he has a hidden hero that he likes of Hanukkah. Because, you know, when they went into the temple was destroyed. I mean, it wasn't burnt to the ground, but it was trashed. It was ruined. And in the course of the cleanup, as we all know, our ancestors found a cruse of oil. And that oil, as we are told, lasted 8 days instead of 1 day. But the hero is whoever hid that cruse of oil. Which priest believed that one day the Jews would come back, they would retake the temple, and they would need to light the menorah again? Whoever that was that believed that and hid that oil away is the secret hero of Hanukkah. Maybe he didn't fight the battle, but he hid the oil. And now let me draw a parallel with the story of Yosef. There is a remarkable thing that happens in this morning's parsha that I deliberately taught about this morning, but I didn't tell you why I was teaching about it. And that is Yosef, who is a young man, not that young, but young, comes up against Potiphar's wife, who seeks to seduce him, and it says, Vayima'en, and he said no, he refused. And you'll notice, and if you listen to Mr. Rommel's reading, you heard, that Vayima'en has a very rare cantillation mark called a shalshelet. It's a triple trill. You go up and down and up and down and up and down the scale. And our tradition teaches us that's because Joseph hesitated a little bit. He didn't just say no. He said, well, no. Because it was hard. Here was Potiphar, who was a sophisticated, beautiful woman, married to a rich man in Egypt, and Joseph was a slave. And so it wasn't only seduction, it was also the power imbalance between this woman and this slave, and yet he managed to say no. Not only did he say no, but it says, Vayanos, and he fled. He ran away. You can imagine, if he said no infirmed, he probably could have walked out. But when you really want something and you know you shouldn't have it and you want to get rid of it, you run away. And that word vayanos is used 4 times in the story of Joseph. We also read the word vayanos this morning. We read it in the Hallel in Psalm 114. Hayam ra'a vayanos, the sea saw and fled. It refers to the splitting of the sea. And of course, our tradition asks, what's the connection between these two words, between Joseph running away and the sea running away? There is a connection. Because remember, while all of Israel was going around at the end of the captivity in Egypt and collecting some of the wealth of the Egyptians, which was well owed them for years and years of slavery, there was one Jew who wasn't going around collecting wealth. That's Moshe. What was Moshe doing? Moshe was going to collect Joseph's coffin. Because Joseph made his descendants promise that they would not bury him in Egypt, that when they returned to Israel, they would bring him back to the land of Israel. And so Moshe went and he collected the coffin of Yosef. And he carried it with them through the desert to the land of Israel. And according to the tradition, what made the sea part? They came to the sea, and there is one midrash that what made the sea part was when Nachshon jumped into it. But there is another midrash that the sea stayed right where it was until it saw the coffin of Joseph. Because Yosef is not known as Yosef in our tradition. What's he known as? Yosef HaTzadik, Joseph the righteous one. In part because of what happened with Potiphar's wife. So because Joseph Vayanos, because Joseph ran away, the sea, when it saw Joseph's coffin, ran away and allowed the Israelites to pass through. So what's the connection? The connection is this. When you do a mitzvah, in this case, a good deed, you never know what the ultimate consequences can be. That priest who hid the cruse of oil had no idea that he was starting Hanukkah. Had no idea that thousands of years later, Jews all over the world would be lighting Chanukiot. When Joseph fled as a young man from Potiphar's wife, he had no idea that hundreds of years later he would cause the sea to split and the Israelites to walk to freedom. To put it in the words of the poet Wordsworth, the best portion of a good man's life is his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love. When we do something that is good, it may not have the effect that we want it to, but it may have an effect that we never anticipate. That's what a mitzvah really is. A mitzvah is a worldly enactment of faith. It's faith embodied. Because when you do a mitzvah, you do it in the assumption that ultimately it will do good, even if it doesn't do good in the way that you think it will. You have no idea. Like the ripples in a pool, what may eventually happen from the mitzvah. You can hide a cruse of oil and get Hanukkah. You can run away out of fidelity to God and lead a people to freedom. This is, in some ways, the essence of Jewish faith. Abraham Joshua Heschel said that Jews don't take a leap of faith, they take a leap of action. What does that mean? You don't understand, ultimately, what this mitzvah will do, but you do the mitzvah because you believe that the mitzvah has consequences. And you may not know them. You may not ever live to see them. But the world will. So you put the Chanukiah in the window, you don't know if anybody's going to pass by and see it, but you believe it'll make a difference. So you give tzedakah, you don't know who will receive it, but you believe it will make a difference. So you come on a Shabbat morning to pray, and you don't know, ultimately, who is listening. But you believe that it will make a difference. That's the connection between Yosef and Hanukkah. We read the story at the darkest time of the year. And we recall that we read about Yosef in the prison, and we read about the temple when it was ransacked and destroyed. But we know that the prison will lead to freedom, and the temple will lead to light. So this is a good time to choose a mitzvah whose consequences you cannot foresee, but whose enactment you believe in, and spread some light, and know that ultimately that light will spread beyond the small circle of your mitzvah and penetrate some of the darkness of the world. And that in the tradition of that unnamed Kohen and of Yosef HaTzadik, you are doing a mitzvah out of faith that will become ultimately an act of goodness for which someone in the world or someone in the future will in their heart thank you. And of course, which will rise before Kisei HaKavod, before God's throne, as a light in a sometimes dark world. Shabbat Shalom.